It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today, and glad to have everyone here who may be visiting with us. Just a few announcements. Our services will continue at 9 a.m. for traditional and 11 o'clock outside for contemporary. Also beginning September 9th from 5 until 6, right out at the side door, we'll begin distributing drive-through communion, so if you'd like to participate in that. Then Wednesday, September 30th, we'll continue in-person worship in the sanctuary for Wednesday nights, if you'd like to take part in that. If you have a confirmation student in your family, this year we will only have returning students participate. So if your grandchild or child may be a first-year student, we're going to postpone that in the event that we may have to go on the computer. It'll be easier to manage with fewer kids. We ask that you keep in your prayers Larry Zeman's family at his passing. We had his funeral here this last week. A special thank you to everyone participating in our service today. Jason on the organ, Linda leading us in song, and then the three guys in the back, Mark, Mark, and Bob, for all their hard work back there. We thank you for everyone sharing their gifts. I invite you to stand as you're able. Our service will be up on the screen, but it also was emailed to you, and it's on Facebook if you'd like to participate that way instead. We continue with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example, point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow your commands through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verses 15 through 21. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand, I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man come in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A man named Alex Thien from the Milwaukee Sentinel shared this story. The 200-year-old church was being readied for their anniversary celebration, and a calamity struck. The bell ringer was called out of town. The sexton immediately advertised for another, and when the replacement arrived, the sexton took him to the steps leading to the bell tower some 150 feet above them. Round and about they went, huffing and puffing all the way up. Just as they reached the landing, the bell ringer tripped, fell face first into the biggest bell of all. Bong! Dazed by the blow, the bell ringer stumbled backwards and onto the landing. The railing broke loose and he fell to the ground. Miraculously, he was unhurt, only stunned, but the sexton thought it was best to call an ambulance, and they asked, "Do you know this man's name?" the doctor asked when he arrived. "No," the sexton replied, "but his face sure rings a bell." It's your cue to laugh. Have you taken a tumble lately? Have your knees hit the gravel? Have you scraped up your face? Have you fallen down? Our house in Mason City was a two-story built in 1934, and like a lot of old houses, it had wooden floors, which included old wooden stairs. I was pregnant with our son at the time, and I was heading downstairs for breakfast, and that was when my foot slipped on the wooden stairs, and I fell halfway, all the way down. One by one, my backside took a beating on each and every step. If it were just me, I could have cared less, but there was Drew in utero. Why hadn't we put rugs on those stairs? We knew one of us would slip someday. Why didn't we take care of it? Have you ever had one of those falls, step by step, all the way down? And how about in faith? Have you tripped that way in faith? Our faces have definitely rung the bell a time or two. No one wants to stumble, and Peter was no different. He wanted to do right. He had parts of himself that would cause him to fall. The first was his mouth, and the second of all was his doubt. Jesus told him the cross is going to happen. Jesus told him the resurrection would happen. But Peter decides to take the Lord to the side and rebuke him. In other words, rebuke means he criticized Jesus. He gave sharp disapproval. He reprimanded and scolded our Lord. Can you imagine? Who did Peter think he was? And Peter told Jesus, "God forbid it, this can never happen." And Jesus tells him, what does he call him? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Peter is the only human in the Gospels who was ever called Satan. Have you stumbled? And what causes you to fall in your faith, and why? Even though Peter stumbled, God used this man immensely to spread the good news. Like Peter, God does the same with each of us. It was October 20th, 1968, in Mexico City at the Olympic Stadium. It was already 7 o'clock and the closing ceremonies were over. The spectators and athletes were gathering all of their belongings to leave the stadium. And then the announcer asked, "Please remain in your seats." Down the boulevard came a whine of police sirens. From their vantage point, many in the stadium could only see motorcycles flashing their lights and circling someone making their way towards the stadium. Whoever it was, he was moving slowly. Everyone remained seated. By the time the police escort got to the stadium, the announcer said that a final marathoner would be making his way into the arena and around the track to the finish line. The crowd was confused. The last marathon runner had come in hours ago. The medals were already awarded. What had taken this man so long? But the first sign of the runner making his way out of the tunnel and onto the track told the whole story. John Stephen Ekwari from Tanzania was covered in blood and hobbled into the light. He had taken a horrible fall early in the race, whacked his head, damaged his knee, and endured a trampling before he could get back on his feet. And there he was, over 24 miles later, stumbling his way to the finish line. The response of the crowd was overwhelming. They encouraged Ekwari, even though it was only his last few meters of the race. They began a thunderous standing ovation that far exceeded the one that was given to the man who hours earlier had come in first. When he finally crossed the finish line, he collapsed into the arms of the medical personnel, who immediately whisked him off to the hospital. The next day, Ekwari appeared before sports journalists to field their questions about his extraordinary feat. The first question was the one any of us would have asked. Why, after sustaining the kinds of injuries you did, would you ever get up and proceed to the finish line when there was no way you could possibly place in the race? John Stephen Ekwari said this, "My country did not send me over 6,000 miles to start a race. They sent me over 6,000 miles to finish a race." Peter's stumble in front of Jesus didn't mean he wouldn't make it over the finish line of faith. It simply meant that he was stalled, that he had to do some soul searching. Peter had to reevaluate his willingness to be involved with our Lord, who was not an earthly ruler, but a heavenly king. He had to decide, am I going to follow the Lord all the way to the cross, all the way to his death, all the way to his resurrection? Yes, Jesus called the 12 to start the race. He also called them to finish one. He calls us to do the same. And here is what I know. The race is a hard one. I go on jogs at night with our chocolate lab Chip, and I am not in the best shape at all, so these jogs are more like wogs, walk jogs. When it's hot and humid, we get about to a mile, and then Chip will simply pop his butt in the dirt. "What's wrong with you?" I will ask him. And he'll look at me and then look at the water bottle. "Do you need water?" And I swear he nods his little head. That's what he wants, water. So I give him the water and we go. And again, he sits right down. It doesn't really make for good cardiovascular activity, but Chip is hot and tired and he is over it. We are all like this. When the conditions are off, when we feel like we're tripping on the dog leash, when we feel the road is too rocky or uneven, when we want to stop, when we want a reprieve, I get it. We've all been there. But the break doesn't mean that we stop altogether. It's a temporary pause. We keep going. We keep running the race that Christ has set before us. Isn't that what Peter did? He didn't stumble and stay on the ground forever. He got up. We fall down 7 times. We get up 8. And remember this, Peter still did good. He was the first to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He witnessed the transfiguration. He saw dead come to life again. He was an eyewitness to Jesus' agony in the garden. He was one of the first to see the resurrection. He was ordained by Christ in AD 33. Some commentators believe that the Gospel of Mark was written by Peter. He was the first bishop of Rome. What else can we say? Peter had a lot of strengths, but he had weaknesses too. He was a huge whiner. He complained about giving up everything to follow Jesus. He had little faith when he sank in the sea. He denied Christ 3 times. Yet Peter was the first apostle to perform a miracle. He believed the church needed to be open to all, and he served the Lord faithfully and willingly, but with mistakes and shortcomings, he stumbled, and we do. Yet as we heard today in the readings, we hold fast to what is good. So no matter where you're at today, especially at a time like this, give yourself all of God's grace that you need. We need more grace right now. You're doing great. Jesus has called you, and this call is not an easy one. His call for you is to start the race and continue the race and finish the race. You may fall. You may trip. You may hit your noggin on the bell, but your face will always be known to God. He knows your heart. His grace will be enough. Trust that. Hold fast to what is good. May God give you the strength and the courage to walk or jog or wog or run the race that is set before you. Amen.
Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue now with the prayers of intercession. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and your response will be, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of faithfulness, you bid your people to follow Jesus. Set the mind of your church on divine things. Grant us trust in you that we lose our lives for the sake of Christ and thereby discover joy in life through him. Lord, in your mercy. God of wonder, the earth is yours and all that is in it. Heal your creation and give us eyes to see the world as you do. As the seasons change, pattern the rhythm of our lives in harmony with all creation. Lord, in your mercy. God of all nations, you call us to live peacefully with all. Give us ears to hear one another, even those we name as enemies. Fill all leaders with mercy and understanding that they may advocate and genuinely care for those who are poor and most vulnerable in their communities. Lord, in your mercy. God of salvation, you promise to deliver us. Give those who suffer a strong sense of your presence and love. Accompany those who are uncertain and raise the spirits of those who are despairing. Heal the sick, especially Chad Cooker, Eric Bigness, Judy Lang, Gary Widenfield, Curtis Stover and family, Tim Brainerd, Rosemary Stickrod, Teresa Copps, Larry Zeman, family and friends, and Michael Phelps, family and friends. Lord, in your mercy. God of community, you call us to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Make our congregation a workshop of your love. When we quarrel, bring reconciliation. Help us overcome evil with good. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, you give us everlasting life. In love, we recall your holy ones who now live in your unending light. In our remembering, give us a foretaste of the feast that is to come. Lord, in your mercy. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to share the sign of peace, like this or with an air high five. At this time, we'll receive our offering for the mission and ministry at St. Olaf. You can give through the PayPal link online, our Vanco app, or also there's a plate or a bucket on the way out as you leave today. Please be seated. Thank you. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in your world. We pray this through Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.